Hey, welcome to the Meat House. Jeff here.
Chris here. Oh my gosh. I'm glad the holidays are over. I love them, but oh my goodness.
I need my weekends back, man.
Yeah, no kidding. It is, I'm just tired. I'm ready for them to be done for now.
I think after this weekend, we got our, we'll have finally hit 12th night. I think we're taking the Christmas tree down, and then I can just relax on the weekends and do some goofing off and some, you know, making mead and drinking mead and watching terrible television.
Oh, like that, you know. Wow, that sounds awesome, to be honest.
Right?
It's absolutely awesome.
Been a little too long since we had that opportunity.
Yeah. Guys, welcome to Meat House. I'm starting our new year. This is my first year. 52.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, technically I started this, you know, my first one was next week.
I'd have to look at the numbers again, but
dude, I mean, what a great year. I mean, I am so glad I'm a part of this. This isn't such a tremendous amount of fun. First thing, guys, I mean, we're exhausted from the holidays.
Yeah, it's been a lot.
We're just bone weary. But we did promise we're going to start with this AI thing, get this kind of rounded off as best we can.
We covered the first prompt of four.
Yeah.
And we gave you guys the second prompt. Mm-hmm. And I think realistically, the second prompt was very similar to the first prompt. My main thing is I want to see if I can trip this up and give it something that I know goes into secondary. And I don't think any of them...
As I recall, none of them said put it in secondary. They said put it in primary.
I don't know. I think all of them said put it in secondary. I don't think we got it. We really tripped them up there.
Let me see here.
I don't recall any of them saying, you know, hey, do this the wrong way. But I think they made a lot of the same mistakes they did with the cherry recipe up front.
Yeah.
It's just not that great.
Yeah, they said secondary. I'm looking at it right now. Yeah. We did not trip them up on going to secondary because cacao nibs, I mean, one of them explicitly said use nibs, not, and it was grok.
Yeah.
Use nibs, not powder. The other was, a couple of them said both, either or. But the biggest problem I have with most of what we saw there is, on these days, this should have happened. You should have done with this part now.
Yeah, they're giving a lot of generalizations based on time. Again, there was like volume measurements instead of weight measurements. The whole like, hey, hydrometer is optional. You know,
is not.
I feel like a lot of the same things we said about the cherry mead also applies to the chocolate cherry.
Yeah.
Hey, before we get too deep into this, let's do the base and top of the episode stuff.
Yeah.
We need to thank our listeners.
Yeah, you guys. Thank you for sticking with us through the holidays. We've gotten great feedback from the holidays when you got all of your holiday stuff due, and you still spent time with us. We appreciate it, man.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason we thank you guys at the top of every episode. We really appreciate you guys tuning in week after week, listening to us, telling your friends.
And we've said it before, we could talk amongst ourselves, but it's so much fun with having more people in the conversation. We love you guys for it.
100%. And the other group we need to thank is, of course, Box and Barleycorn. They are returning for 2026 as our sponsors.
And very cool of them. And it's so cool they do this because they see value in what we do, and we have such a good relationship with them that I am really happy to have them as our sponsor. Mm-hmm. They're great people. They have what you need. If they don't have it, they can get it. And the ship, man, guys, you know, whether you're a beginner, you're experienced, you're a master, they got something you could probably use.
Yeah, absolutely. I love going in there just to see what is new, you know, month after month or week after week, and what they got now, what they got before, what they're doing now. As far as, I think Jake has started up a couple little classes here and there. It's just a great community to be a part of.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it. And I'm, you know, granted, I know not everybody listening gets to mute into Kansas City just to go to a homebrew store, but you know, we can at least offer you their shipping code, or I'm sorry, their discount code for
MHP10.
Yes.
Whew, for a second, for looking on your face, I thought I missed it, but MHP10.
I had to double check myself that time. Like, did he do? He did do that, right? Okay. Well, I need to trust you more.
Not really. But 10% off your online order. If you go in the store and ask, they might even give it to you there. You never know. But, you know, one of the things I really enjoyed over the holidays, he actually had Hawaiian honey there. He still has some.
Yes.
And this is stuff from a A guy who takes bees around to pollinate fields and why?
You've probably heard of Sean if you've like hung out with mead makers or if you've been around mead forums on Facebook. He advertises on a bunch of them, and people have been talking about his good stuff. We still need to do your was it boar's blood?
Yeah, the board club.
We still need to taste that at some
Yeah,
point soon too.
I'll grab. I forgot. I didn't think I forgot all about it until now.
It happens to
Yeah,
people.
I mean, oh no, I have things going on in my life. Wow.
Right, yeah. No, I don't know anything about that.
But yeah, bring my boar's blood in now because, okay, I'll be honest. The boar's blood I made this time, I did a couple of assumptions I should not have done. The next round I have another pack. I'm going to follow it strictly by
Book.
the recipe you gave me on the package, and we'll be able to compare.
All right. Right on. We'll do it that way then. So this week, our mead of the week is this is from Sap House. This is a cherry, bergamot, and black pepper. And let's see, does this have an ABV on it? Not really. Somewhere maybe in this fine print.
12.
12%. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm interested to see where the black pepper hits.
Yes. And how it presents itself, although the cherry and bergamot is also an interest of mine as well, because I mean those are both very nice
Oh
flavors.
yeah. I mean, I'm a tea drinker, so Earl Grey is bergamot and black tea, so I'm all in on this too. So cherry, bergamot, and black pepper. It's got a slight reddish hue to the amber.
Yeah, it's a kind of a reddish orangish kind of a tone to it.
So,
Little cloudy. Nose is pretty light.
oh man, it's also a very clean nose. I smell a little bit of cherry. I smell more honey than cherry, though.
Yeah, I get a little honey and a little cherry on the nose. I don't get a lot of spice on it, but I mean, bergamot, black pepper, I take that back. Black pepper can be very pungent, but
Yeah.
I have a feeling if they'd mentioned black pepper last, it's kind of like
Yeah.
that ancillary little extra something
Yeah.
something to go, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
It's not the
In
primary.
this 5,000 gallon drum, whatever we have here, I'm going to put this much.
Yeah. Just a little extra something something that
Yeah.
you go,
Oh,
oh.
the smell is so much milder than the taste. I'm not saying the taste is bad, it's strong though. First thing that hit me was the pepper.
The pepper is there. It has that kind of a. It's not a capsaicin tingle, but it is that kind of like that fresh cracked black pepper
Yeah,
tingle to
it's that it's called pepin, as I understand it from my daughter.
it.
And pepin is the only other spicy pepper recognized culinarily speaking.
Okay.
And it's not capsaicin, it's a pepin, it's a fast burn. Whereas capsaicin is a slow burn, which is probably why I like pepper, but I like capsaicin.
Fair, fair.
But
Yeah, it kind of hits the tip of your tongue.
and pretty hard.
The cherry is, it's not potent
No.
cherry. It's a light cherry.
It's like the mid to back of the middle of the tongue mouth thing. And the honey is just the support character in all this, it
Right.
seems.
This is really an off-dry mead too. It's not nearly as sweet and pronounced as I would expect for a cherry mead in general, but that's not like necessarily a bad thing.
If you like a nice dry and not pleasantly dry meat, this is excellent. Dry is not my thing, but I will be honest, the pepper makes it for me. The pepper flavor that hits the tongue really helps us a lot.
How is your perception of the bergamot?
Meh.
To me, it is kind of it's hitting at the same time as the cherry and kind of scaffolding it, which is interesting to me.
Yeah.
But
I do taste the bergamot. I feel that's the citrus cluster in there. And yeah, I could not tell you, and actually until you mentioned, I could not tell you the different the placement better than it's the structure of the cherry. They hit at the same time.
Yeah, they are at the same time, and I think the cherry is a little bit more noticeable, but the bergamot is a little bit more potent, if that makes any sense.
I agree, but I get the bergamot more in the nasal, in the, my inhale the air.
Let me try that.
When I like that though. Get it?
Yeah, that post nasal really hits with the
Yeah.
bergamot, and it's meat is interesting.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, I was actually when I saw that I wanted to try this one because the black pepper, but
Right.
all of it makes a nice statement all the way through.
This is an interesting flavor combination that I'm not sure I would have ever thought of, but I really like the way this is presented. I would hear this out if it were a little sweeter, but I'm not mad at an off dry at
But
all.
I'll be honest, I would like to try to make my own cherry bergamot black pepper and make it a sweet mead just to see what would happen with that.
Sorry, we're adding to your list again, bud.
Oh, the trials and tribulations I must bear in this life. Oh, no.
So anyway, this week we are returning after a 2 week break to the AI thing we were talking about. And we foolishly thought this was going to be a one episode
Oh
thing.
my God, we this will be quick, easy, bam, bam, bam.
And
No.
I think we've been talking in the last week here and there while we were getting on with our lives and getting through the last of the holiday hullabaloo that I don't think we want to make this a 3-weeker.
No.
No. So I think,
I mean, I came in the door saying, "Dude, you said we both said we could make this a three episode. I don't wanna."
No. So we're going to try and cover the last two of the four prompts.
Now, keep in mind, we covered the cherry, and we posted the cherry chocolate.
Right. Because I think a lot of the same things we could have said about the cherry, we well, sorry, a lot of the things we said about the cherry could be said for the cherry chocolate.
Yeah.
Like I said, I was trying to trip it up by putting the cacao nibs in there, something that obviously goes in secondary, and none of them fell for it. So
But
it's not that stupid, but
they also said once I think it was Grok said definitely use cherry cacao nibs. I think a couple of them said you could use cocoa powder. Don't use cocoa powder.
Yeah, it's just a mess. There is no amount of Duafine and other clarifying agents, bentonite, whatever you want to use, that's going to make that a fast cleanup when you
No.
put like raw Dutch processed cocoa in there.
Now, don't just save yourself the trouble. And plus, here's what I learned about cocoa nibs. When you use cocoa nibs, when they float, they're done. They've given you everything they're going to give you. Use those cocoa nibs on your ice cream for chocolate flavoring, for your ice cream, for just topping.
Neat.
And why not? You know, there you go.
Cool. There's a little fun tip from Chris. Anyway, so those were the first two prompts. Relatively easy, so to speak, and we definitely found some flaws in them. We wanted to push it a little further and see what else we could do. So the next prompt that we threw out, I said, let's ask for specifically for an 18% ABV Polish mead. And this was fun because, this was a week or two before we had talked about Polish mead and it was a fun conversation. There was a lot of talk online. So let's expand that. Let's see what the.
Now, Polish mead, from what I've learned both from this and from our conversation, is far more complicated than a standard mead.
Yes.
This is work. I mean, if you're going to do a Polish mead, first of all, brave person. Second of all, I hope it works out well, but Polish mead is a powerful mead.
Yes.
Not just the fact it's 18%.
But there's a lot of flavor going into it, depending on how you're making it. There's a lot of different ways to make it. And that's part of the complication here. This is a family tradition. There are businesses doing this and have been for decades and decades.
Or
There,
sometimes even generations.
right, there are, yeah, the saying, as I'm given to understand, is you make mead for the next generation, not for your generation. Because it's going to sit for a while, but you're going to get a powerful product. Now, some of these prompts returned. Bear in mind, and again, this is my criticism with generative AI in general at this point in time, is that it has no creative power whatsoever. It is literally just trolling massive amounts of data, collating it, and presenting it back to us. So what it's done is inevitably found recipes online that it thinks will be appropriate for the use.
It's pieced together a recipe from other recipes, not a single recipe or a group of recipes in the
Correct.
same group. They take it from here, there, and everywhere and put it into a recipe. So take this with a grain of salt.
Yes. Now, some of these returned like actual Polish meat styles. Some of these just said, hey, here's one for a Polish style. I'm not sure that that matters much, but we did get very different results depending on which AI we asked. And so for some of these, like for example, ChatGPT gave us a Polish dwojak meat. And
I'm so glad Jeff's here to say that because I
by the way, for our Polish listeners, przepraszam, że nie mówię po polsku dobrze, which, as I'm given to understand, is if a 20 years ago Polish classes, I'm sorry that I don't speak Polish well. I am actually told that when I speak Polish, I have a Czech accent, which is weird, but
can't.
I couldn't understand it. I couldn't understand how that happened other than I learned Czech before I learned Polish, and sorry, guys.
There we go. Yeah,
Anyway.
so. The first one, there's a water ratio of 1 to 1.
Right.
Weird. It's for a gallon
That's
batch.
just the style, but
And first thing that popped up was clover wildflower works, but Polish style traditionally use buckwheat or forest honey.
right. Now there are different kinds of buckwheat honey available in the States, and I think both of those are different than the buckwheat they have in Europe. I can never remember whether it's the Eastern or the Western buckwheat that tastes like a horse blanket. But one of them is not pleasant. One of them can be pleasant.
Now, Jeff Lewis said that one of the two recipes, one of the two buckwheats, you take a horse blanket off a horse, lick it, and that's the taste you get, which got me into a giggle fits for a good 3 or 4 minutes. But I would recommend using the other one.
Ask somebody that is more familiar with this than us, and determine before you go buying your buckwheat honey, and maybe ask for a sample if you're buying online. Because
Yeah.
buying in small quantity before you buy in large quantity, that way you're not getting,
A lot of something you're never going to use.
200 pounds of horse blanket.
Because we all, as we all know, honey doesn't go bad. It's just going to wait for you to give up.
Anyway, so yeah, no, that was an interesting note that they were saying, hey, Polish meats traditionally use buckwheat or forest honey. Clover or wildflower also works. It gave us water to reach 1 gallon, yeasts of yeast 1118, K1V1116, WLP 00, sorry, 099, super high gravity. I'm not familiar with that one, but I don't use a lot of white labs. So, yeah, it says EC 1118 is the cleanest Polish character. I'll buy that. Nutrients. Because this is extremely high gravity, you need a teaspoon of yeast nutrient and a teaspoon of yeast energizer. Again, we're using volumes, not measurements.
Yes.
Learn Tosno. This is not hard, guys. The math is a little complicated the first couple times you use it, but I have it memorized in my head just so I can do it. There's also like meadtools.com uses the Tosno measurements.
Yeah.
You can just plug your data in with OG, whether you want to use ferment K or ferment O, how many gallons you're doing, and it will figure it out for you. I've verified it against my own math, and it works. It's 100% right, 100% of the time.
Whenever you see a measurement like teaspoon or even gram, stop. You're taking an arbitrary amount for an
Gram is
arbitrary.
fine. Gram is a weight measurement. Teaspoon is a volume measurement.
Yeah, that's right. I'm
Yeah,
sorry.
don't use volume measurements. You would use like fractions of an ounce, but look for gram measurements with your prescribed volume, especially when you're using this much, because you're going to need a lot of nutrient here because
And
there's a lot of honey going into this.
a teaspoon of each of those, I'll just on first blush, that's not going to be enough.
They don't give us a gravity to work with for the start here. And again, this is.
If you look, okay.
If you're a beginner mead maker and you want to make a Polish mead, make like a dozen easier meads first and
Yeah,
then make a
please.
Polish mead.
This,
Your end result is going to be so much better for the
and
experiment.
honestly, even with the experience I have with making mead, I'm hesitant to make a Polish mead because that's just, even at my level, seems daunting.
Yes.
Could I do it? Possibly.
It's
I'm
daunting
not
to me,
comfortable.
and I'm doing one right now.
Yeah. There you go. The next thing we saw that we didn't like was on the, it says on equipment, it says glass carboy, airlock, bung, large sanitized pot, siphon, hydrometer, quote, in quotes, in parentheses, optional, but highly recommended.
Hydrometer is not
It
optional.
really
Just
isn't, guys. You,
it's.
especially if you want to know your percentage levels. Are you doing a 17, 18% meat or not? If you don't have a hydrometer, you don't know.
So we get into the step-by-step directions here, and one of the first things it tells us is that traditionally, Polish meats are heated to clarify and sanitize without boiling, and they recommend heating to 150 to 160 degrees centigrade or 65 to 71.
No,
I'm sorry,
150 to 60 Fahrenheit.
Fahrenheit, and 65 to 71 centigrade. I'm reading faster than I'm talking here. For 15 minutes, basically they're doing a pasteurization step and skimming impurities. And this is old hat for a lot of the recipes you see for mead online, where they tell you to boil or simmer or whatever and skim off the impurities. Is this a traditional step that Polish mead makers do? I don't know. I've not talked to that many Polish meat makers to know for sure they do this or not.
They say it is.
Is this necessary? No, not at all.
It's the reason your grandmother sifted flour when she was baking, because the flour didn't necess wasn't necessarily clean up all of debris. And the debris would ca catch in your sifter and you'd throw it away. I'm pretty sure the flour I get in the store today is much cleaner than it was back when my grandma had it. I'm pretty sure the mead, the honey you get now for your meads is cleaner than what they got way back when. Yes.
I doubt the yeast are going to complain if they get a little protein from a bee leg or something in the honey
Yeah.
anyway.
Oh, that's fair. Fair.
Anyway, do you need to boil or simmer or whatever their request, their stating this traditional here? No, I don't think so. But that's apparently
This is part of the step-by-step instructions.
right there. Well, we can argue till the cows come home here. I don't think it's necessary, but you do you.
I will say, if you do heat up your water and honey and stir, I can almost guarantee you will, there's no clumps of honey in your water.
It is an easier way to dissolve the honey. The other, and I think it is to their credit that they're saying, hey, simmer it, or not simmer, but bring it to a 150 to 160 rather than boiling it. Boiling it will also remove the oxygen the yeast need to keep their full like colony volume in those that lag phase.
So that is it inappropriate? No. Is it necessary? Probably
No,
not.
probably not. But they do, again, when we get to pitching the yeast, they tell us to shake the fermenter vigorously for 1 to 2 minutes to oxygenate. Again, you're not going to get much oxygen doing that. They tell us during days 1 through 5, hey, they're telling us to use staggered nutrients. That's great. And they're splitting it up.
Also good.
Gently swirl the fermenter to degas. Cool.
Yeah, that we talked about that. This instead of adding more additives, stir it, agitate it. It's all good.
Provide oxygen only on day 1 and day 2. They're not telling you how to add oxygen other than the shaky, shaky part, which does not provide a lot of oxygen. It would probably, with a higher gravity mead like this, be good to add oxygen, but they're not giving you any details on how to do that. And
If you want oxygen, again, bully for you, but the bottom line is you're probably going to have a tank of oxygen in a tube.
right, they make little air stones you can get with regulators. And hell, last time I bought oxygen was years and years ago. It lasts for freaking ever because the little, it's got to be like a 1 liter tube of oxygen lasts for ages. I don't use it very much, only on the high gravity meads that I don't make that often. But still, you oxygenate for an hour or two and call it good. Not an hour or two, a minute or two tops.
Gee, you scared the heck out of me there. I'm just gonna float.
We all float down here. Maybe we all just drink too much
Yeah,
too.
well, no, I
We all
disagree.
drink too much
We
down here.
drink. I don't think it's too much.
Well, we could ask our wife's opinion, but that's probably not a great idea.
They'll tell us what we don't want to hear.
So, most of the steps here look basically fine. Again, we're getting to that whole, they do stupid stuff like slow transition to a bubble every 30 to 60 seconds is when you know it's time to switch to secondary. A lot of subjective stuff like you're done with clearing when alcohol smooths out and the spike is mellow.
Okay, tell me when alcohol smooths out, Jeff. I'd like to know this answer.
When it's smooth.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, sure. Makes perfect sense. I have no idea what that looks like.
They say, hey, it improves dramatically with age for home brewing. 6 to 12 months is spectacular results, but Polish meaderies will often age these between 1 and 5 years. Cool, great. Bottling, it's time to bottle when it's stable. No gravity change over 2 weeks. That to me is a little extreme. I usually use a 72-hour rule.
Yeah, if it doesn't change in 72 hours, you're probably good.
But I also do stabilization with sorbate and metabisulfite.
Yeah.
And I don't think that even if it is completely stable with no change whatsoever over an entire 2 weeks, that excuses you from not stabilizing, especially if there's even a little bit of residual sugar there, because you never know, and you don't want bottle pops.
No, you don't need your grenades, you don't need your bombs. You kill your yeast. Make sure you kill yeast. It's not going to affect the flavor at all, guys.
Well, and this is telling us an expected final profile of sweet. They're adding 6 pounds to a single gallon with an expectation of 18 pound, or I'm sorry, 18% ABV. That's definitely going to give us residual sugar.
So if you have yeast in with your sugar, you're playing with fire.
Yeah, you really are. I do like that they gave some optional variations here. The Malignac
The raspberry version.
The Vichniac is the cherry version. The Korzeny, the spice version, is the one that they give us as optional spices before, as opposed to, they said it's traditional to add these, and then they said this is a variation later, which is a little confusing to me, but this is AI, it's kind of just making shit up.
Yeah. And
So
the points don't matter.
of course, we asked DeepSeek, and DeepSeek did not give us a Polish style. DeepSeek says, crafting an 18% ABV Polish style mead typically results in a robust, dry to off-dry mead with clean fermentation, often using traditional wine mead yeast and careful nutrient management. Polish meads, Mielpitany, historically vary from dry to sweet and sometimes include fruit and spice notes. A modern interpretation gives you strong, clean, mid to full-bodied mead with good aging potential. So the first one we got was sweet. This is giving us dry to off dry,
Yeah.
which is an interesting.
And I'll be honest, they're doing a 1 gallon batch and they're talking 2.5 to 3 pounds of honey, which is not dissimilar. It's a little bit less the honey than the previous one, isn't it?
The previous one asked for 6 pounds
Yeah.
of honey.
I was thinking that's what I thought I remember. Yeah. It's at 6 pounds.
And this is
So.
saying, to DeepSeek's credit, they're giving us gravity points here, kind of. They say ingredients for 1 gallon honey, 2.5 to 3.5 pounds. Starting gravity should be around 1100 to 1110, maybe appropriate depending on yeast. We want a high attenuating yeast 1118. 71B was a lower alcohol tolerance, may finish drier, enhances mouthfeel, not ideal for 18% if alone.
And then they have White Labs, the WLP 710, WLP 711. Again, I've never used White Labs any more than Jeff has.
Yeah. Y yeast 4184 sweet mead yeast can be tuned with patience, but produce more residual. And don't use this yeast. I hate this yeast. Don't use this yeast.
Okay, if you want to use this yeast, you're going to have to talk to somebody who uses this yeast. That's not us.
You can also consider a two-stage approach, and this is obviously like some. I'm going to read this to you. You can tell me if this makes sense to you. You can also consider a two-stage approach, a robust yeast like EC1118 to finish, followed by a champagne yeast for a clean finish if needed, though usually not necessary.
A double finish line. What a great idea.
We're going to start with EC1118. What kind of yeast is EC1118?
That's a. I don't remember it. You got me.
What kind of wine does it make?
Generally very pretty dry.
Because it's.
It's got a high. It's it. The,
Yeah,
it.
Chris, EC1118 is a champagne yeast.
Okay.
So you can finish with a champagne yeast and then follow it
With a
with a
champ.
champagne yeast to finish.
Okay, I didn't know
Clean.
that. I never made champagne, man.
Yeah, me either. It's kind of a pain in the ass to homebrew, really. But yeah, no, this is reduplication in weird phrasing.
Apparently, EC1118 to a AI is not a champagne yeast until you call it a champagne yeast in this case,
Because
right?
it doesn't know anything other than the fact that, it's used a lot in mead. This is weird stuff that they're throwing at us. And fermentation aids is another thing it throws out here. For pectic enzyme, optional, but helps clarity. Unless you're putting fruit in there's nothing for pectic enzyme to undo. So why? I don't see how this is going to help you with clarity if you don't have pectic proteins that you need to mess with. But yeah, if you're putting fruit in, yes,
Yeah.
use pectic enzyme.
If you don't have fruit, there's you're just
You're wasting time and money.
and an extra step you don't have to worry about.
And then the other thing it suggests is acid blend, which is optional for balance. Now, acid blend can be useful for balance, but with a lot of recipes I find online, there are different approaches to using acid blend, acids in general, and some of them are good. And some of them are dumb. So I read this and go, okay, let's see what they do with this. And I was not happy with what they do with this.
This
Spoiler alert.
is weird. I'm reading it right now, going, what the heck? Okay.
Again, they do the Camden tablet thing where, you can use one tablet per gallon to sanitize and control wild yeast if you're starting with a clean sanitize process, but wait 24 hours before pitching yeast. It needs to be 36 hours. But again, if you're not using fruit, you probably don't need this. You could use this before you start to treat like tap water and get the chlorine and chloramines out with it, but you don't need this. There's the wild yeast and stuff in your honey is already pretty well controlled by the fact that it's been sitting in honey and basically been sucked dry. It might wake up, but by the time it wakes up, your yeast will have already had like a week's head start.
You should be fine.
So, they also ask add amino acids or minerals. They don't tell you any of this stuff as to what you want to do with those, but they say it's optional for mouthfeel. So thanks, guys.
If you're going to use these things, A, talk to somebody who knows what you're doing with it, and B, follow the directions on package or something. They're giving no information here.
Realistically, amino acids, I can only think of a few. Minerals, I could think of more. Like, we talked before about adding a little calcium or some gypsum to your water to increase the minerality and make it flow better. But again,
But just use spring water, you're fine.
this is not stuff that even I mess with.
No.
Use a good spring water that is not chlorinated, and you've got all the job done for most of anything you're going to
And
make.
I'll be honest, guys, if you want to learn about the intricacies of spring water versus distilled or reverse osmosis, there is a book called Water.
Yeah, it's. I've read the book on yeast, and it is ridiculously in depth. I expect the book on water to be no less.
I have not read the book on yeast, but I have read the book on water. Good Lord, man. I mean, I love knowledge. I've said this before. I didn't like that knowledge. This just made things muddled for me.
I'm a nerd, and it's kind of a lot for me. So,
Yeah.
anyway.
And onward.
We get to the day-by-day schedule, phase one, preparation and must setup. Again, if you're using Camden, crush one tablet in quarter cup of water, add to must, and wait 24 hours.
36.
It needs to be 36. You don't need to add this. This is extra work you don't need to do, blah, 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 blah. If you're using pectic enzymes or acids, add per product instructions. Again, we've
If you
not
use
pitched yeast here. You don't need to add acid yet. If you don't have fruit in here, there's nothing for the pectic enzyme to dissolve.
So
Yeah,
don't add steps you don't need.
this is just bad. Yeah. Now, to their credit, they are again talking about gravity when we get into primary fermentation. You should expect to start around, well, now it says a starting gravity of around 1110 to 1120, whereas before they were saying 1100 to 1110. A likely finish around 1000 to 1010, depending on yeast and nutrients. Add per package directions for yeast for nutrients. Expect vigorous fermentation for the first 2 to 5 days. Blah 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 blah.
Gentle aeration for the first 24 hours. I have yet to speak to a single mead maker that does that. Do you have you?
Gentle aeration.
Like a bubbler?
If I'm doing a high gravity mead, I will consider my oxygen at,
For 24 hours?
not for 24
Yeah,
hours.
it says right there. Use an oxygen, add yeast per package to support strong fermentation. If you can, add oxygenation. If you can, oxygenate the must at pitching, gentle aeration for the first 24 hours. You do it for a minute.
Yeah, that's all you need.
There you go.
That water ain't gonna get more oxygenated. I don't think. And they may be talking about, hey, for the first 24 hours, periodically go over there and shake the carboy a little to get out that dissolved yeast. But no, this is not very clear at all.
No, it's not.
So to their credit, again, they say, hey, we're using gravity now. When you get to 1020 to 1010, depending on target dryness, plan for secondary rather than, hey, wait 2 to 3 weeks. This is a little clearer. I'll give them that.
They actually said expect vigorous fermentation from 2 to 5 days. I've had my vigorous fermentation with fruit-based meads, hydromels, for 10 to 12. My banana mead was trying to blow the lid off my bucket for 10 straight days.
Banana do be like that, though.
I'm not saying that I didn't bring it on myself. Pay attention to what your airlock is doing, not to what the timetable, your calendar is doing.
Yeah.
Let your bee talk to you, don't talk to your mead.
This is not a prescriptive process. You can't prescribe how long it's going to take. You can just kind of roll with the punches and use good indicators like your gravity to tell you when it's time to move to secondary. Or if you're developing like a solid 3/4 inch like yeast trub on the bottom that's clear and very visible, then it's a good chance to move to secondary. You might need to rack again before secondary is even over with at that
Yeah.
point. But you don't want to leave it sitting on a big chunk of yeast.
No, you don't. And that and
This is the kind of stuff you learn by doing.
yeah.
So.
And believe me when I used to have nightmares about Jeff hates me right now because I'm asking stupid questions, and I wasn't because it didn't make sense to me at the time. But now it does.
You learn by doing.
Yeah.
What becomes instinct is just earned by trial and error.
Experience. Yeah. Phase C. Day 14 through 90. Once gravity drops 10/20 to 10/10, depending on your target dryness,
Yeah, we just talked about that. Optional adjuncts. If you want a subtle dry oak or vanilla character, add a small amount of oak or vanilla bean. Yeah, they don't really give us amounts, but the last time they gave us amounts for oak, they gave us ridiculous amounts, like two little chips of oak.
Yeah, two little chips and, half a bean or, I mean, guys, when you're adding a flavoring, add a little bit more than you think you need. Monitor frequently through the first few days.
Worst case, you're pulling it a little earlier than you expected, but you're getting the flavor you want.
Yeah. I mean, come on, enter your own personal intelligence into this at this point. If you're adding a flavor, I would rather put in 5 ounces of cacao nibs if I'm using cacao and pull it a day early. Simple.
Aging duration, 2 to 6 months or longer. And this is the broadest term, but probably the most accurate term we've heard from a timetable wise. The meat will become smoother and more balanced with time. Periodically take gravity readings to confirm stabilization. If you plan to back sweeten or to a specific sweetness, stabilize with potassium sorbate and Camden tablets as per product instructions to prevent refermentation in bottles. Thank
Accurate.
you.
Yeah, thank you. Finally, yes.
Back sweetened with a honey syrup or light sweetened juice, tasting as you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, makes sense.
Yeah, use your K products, your potassium products, and kill the yeast,
Yes.
then do what the heck you want with your sweetness.
The Camden tablets are the same as potassium metabisulfite. It's just a tablet form for easier
Yeah.
use. That's all it
But
is.
honestly, guys, kill your yeast. Because after that, the control is all you.
They say recheck gravity for stabilization and ensure it remains stable over a week or two to prevent bottle fermentation. I don't know if you need to go that far.
You can.
Again,
It's not
my
going to hurt you.
general rule is about 3 days and you're good. Store in a cool, dark place. Here, though, when we get to bottling, this hurts. If you want carbonation, prime with a small amount of sugar. Be careful. 18% ABV mead can carbonate unpredictably if there's any residual sugar. Many meads are kept best kept still.
We've
Yes.
killed the yeast. There's not going to be anything to ferment.
They told us killing the yeast was optional if we were in a back sweep. But even if you don't kill the yeast, we're talking about an 18% mead made with a yeast whose alcohol tolerance is 18%.
If you got there, Boogle for you, man. We don't always make it.
Hey, I've not tried a lot of these. I'm gonna call it here and say probably not gonna happen. If you want it to happen, good on you.
Yeah.
They don't tell you how to tell how much sugar to add either.
Yeah.
You really should just go online and use a priming calculator to figure out how much honey to add, or just use corn sugar, which is real simple sugar that is very reliably quick to ferment and get the amount of carbonation you're looking for. You're probably not even going to get a flavor profile, especially not from an 18% mead with any residual
Yeah,
sugar,
but
but.
dude, I my meads are still I rarely carbonate meads. I've only done that a couple of times and mixed results. One was okay after 10 months. One was meh.
I think the very mention of carbonation in an 18% mead is setting people up for disappointment
And
and
danger.
danger.
Yeah, I mean,
Absolutely. I don't think anything good is coming of that.
yeah. So let personal opinion, don't do it. But that's about all. The rest of it is honey choices and size of what you're doing and things, cute things like that.
Yeah.
Next one we talked to was Grok.
And Grok gave us again, this is a traditional, authentic Polish czerniak mead. Czerniak. Sorry, guys. In Poland, made with about 18% alcohol from one part honey, three parts water is traditionally called czerniak. This is the classic high alcohol Polish style. Starting gravity, again, we're getting starting gravity, which is nice. 1140 to 1145.
That's pretty high.
Fairly high.
I'm not mad, but guys, if you need a gravity calculator to find out what your meat's going to be, Brewer's Friend.
Yeah.
They got a gravity calculator and it works.
Final gravity 09 98 to 1004 dry to semi sweet.
1004 is a semi-sweet. That's pretty dry for me.
That's not going to be semi sweet. Not
That's dry.
backing 18% alcohol. That's
0998 to 1004, it's what I call desert dry, guys. That's me.
So alcohol 18 to 18.5
Good
batch
luck on the point
size
fives.
20 liters or well. You treat You treat East 1118 okay, it'll go over the 18%
Oh
easy.
well, yeah, I'm not expecting it.
I haven't checked these. They're starting gravity versus an actual calculator, by the way. I'm taking them at their word for it, and maybe I shouldn't. But yeah, no, that's neither here nor there. Batch size 20 liters or US 5 gallons. It's easy to scale. It is, in fact, easy to scale. You just use the multiply or divide function on a calculator, and you get right there. Ingredients: good floral or multifloral honey, 10 kilograms or 22 pounds. Oh my God, that's a lot. That's
Yeah, this is the part that got me with Croc. He wants us to make a lot of booze.
that's we're talking about a 5 gallon batch here, so that's 4 2/5 pound per gallon, which is in that 3.5 to that sorry the no it's a little north of that 3.5 max that Chet the no 3.5 was the DeepSeek. God, all this data is going, it's like a blender in my head. But they note here, do not use buckwheat if you want a classic light Chornak. So there's a disagreement among the AI models as to what classic flavors look like, at least in this case. But I will note, they do name the yeast nutrients here, although they say yeast nutrient Fermate O or GoFerm plus DAP, total 60 to 80 grams staggered. And stuff like that is accurate to an extent, but like Fermate O or GoFerm, those are two different things. And DAP is an entirely third different thing. And they don't really tell you how to split that out. So I'm looking to see if they give us more later. I hope they do. Optional Polish character, 50 to 100 grams of dried elderflowers or 2 to 3 vanilla beans. These are just noted as traditional additions. Okay, so math.
Yeah, I checked the math on the gravities that were given on Grok here. I plugged in a 1140 into a gravity calculator from Brewer's Run, ABV calculator Brewer's Run. Just the 1140 to 1.00 or 10.00 was 18.37%, which is checks out.
Yep, it's accurate enough. So, to their credit, Grok tells us a degasser and whip is required equipment, and a hydrometer is required equipment.
Okay, not a fan of Grok, but that's true.
Yeah.
I agree.
So far, it's giving us more than the other guys are.
Just for giggles, I put in the top gravity of the Grok said, which is 1 point or 1145, and the bottom one for final gravity at 0998, and it puts it out 19.03.
Okay.
So yeah,
So
the math maths.
if your EC 1118 is treated with utmost care and respect, maybe you can get a 90% out of this recipe, but we'll see. They gave us a schedule for Fermate O, 20 grams Fermate O divided in 4 parts, and optional 10 grams extra if needed at, actually, there's an optional 10 grams at day 8 if needed, if still dropping fast, or day 14 plus, when you hit the 2/3 sugar break, there's an optional 10 grams needed. It's not really toasting protocol, but it could work. I don't do a lot of high gravity meads, so I'm not the.
I've done higher gravity meads than either one of the two of us. I've done the highest gravity meads with my first couple of batches, but I was also very fortunate for batch on it, so I'm not going to say anything. But yeah, but for the numbers we're looking at just at first glance, they look pretty good.
Yeah, it looks, they're not telling us anything wrong here by any means. Traditional finishing options: leave dry, klasichny, very champagne-like. Back sweetened 30 to 60 grams per liter residual sugar, with fresh honey, pulsudski, and stabilize with, potassium sorbate and potassium metabisulfite. Great.
Yeah, kill your yeast, yeah.
Fortify slightly with a neutral spirit to 20% and oak age. Style Staropolsky. So Pulsudski is like, that literally means half sweet. That's like semi-sweet. Staropolsky means, like, it's old-fashioned Polish style, essentially, is the way you would phrase that.
Okay.
And they say this exact recipe consistently wins gold medals in Polish Miodos Dini competitions and at Mazur Cup International in the traditional meat category.
Does it?
Oh,
Okay.
this feels like a hodgepodge, but it could, maybe.
Yeah.
In which case, they're just, copying from somebody and
Yeah, that it could happen too. I mean, the last one we have is from Claude. As far as
this is again not a style per se. They just call it a traditional Polish meat milk pitny, 18%. And this time they're saying, hey, use 6 pounds of Polish linden or lime honey. Lime in this case is, again, it's linden. It's like shortleaf linden is the,
Okay, gotcha.
it's a very popular tree in that part of the world.
I did not know that, so yeah, you got me there.
It's not a lime like the lime we use to make gimlets and stuff.
Yeah, okay.
So,
But wildflower and buckwheat work.
yeah.
From what I've heard from Polish bees, they generally use the Polish buckwheat.
It's a popular one, but it's popular because it's a very pronounced flavor, and it's probably not the only one they use.
Well,
So
yeah.
anyway, yeast nutrient, yeast energizer, high alcohol tolerance yeast. Cool.
It says equivalent hydrometer essential for high ABV meats. Thank
Yeah,
you.
thanks.
Thank
Good.
you.
Again, they're talking about heating the must here to 160 this time. I'm not sure you need to, but okay.
If you want to take the extra step, go for it, man.
Starting gravity is targeted 11:30 to 11:40. Use a hydrometer. Yeah,
Yeah.
use a hydrometer. Again, we're talking about shake. They want us to shake for 5 minutes to incorporate oxygen. You're not getting that much oxygen. And if we're just doing a gallon, yeah, you can shake for 5 minutes maybe at a slow pace.
Yeah, how's your
If
arm strength?
we're scaling up to five, no way in hell.
No, if it's cut up to three, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, they're giving us a fermentation schedule here, and it looks, okay. Aerate daily by swirling. Fermentation should be vigorous. So add about a half teaspoon of nutrient again here. Again. Use toast, now measure it out. Gram scale, guys, they're not
Yeah.
expensive at all. Move it to secondary, add spice bag. There's not a lot to say here that's not wrong and not noteworthy.
Okay, I will agree it's not wrong or noteworthy, but it's also not specific.
No, it's not very
This is not a step by step.
forward.
This is a schedule of events.
Yeah.
Week one, week two, week three, four to eight, month three, month four to six, month six to 12, month 12 to 18, month 18 to 24. That's 2 years, guys.
I mean, they asked for a Polish traditional mead.
That's probably as close you're going to get. And then bottling.
They give you some tips here, and I think the tips are good. Staggered nutrient additions are great. That does slow down your fermentation a little bit, but it also prevents like the hot ferments, so you get a better quality at the end. Temperature control, you keep it steady, keeps fermentation steady. Be patient.
Yeah, please be patient. 24 months, dude. It's you're waiting 2 years for your mead.
Don't rush it. Polish mead makers age these 3 to 5 years traditionally. Probably accurate. The traditional Polish wisdom, I have not heard this phrase before, but I like this phrase. Miód musi się wyczerpać. The mead must sit itself out. The longer you age it, the better it comes. A properly made półtorak hits its stride at 3 to 5 years. Apparently, this is a półtorak recipe, even though they didn't give us the półtorak name up front. But that's the 1-to-1, I think, honey to mead.
Yeah.
And with 6 pounds of mead, that's in the right range there.
Okay, guys, just for the sake of your mental capacity, a gallon of honey is 12 pounds. A gallon of water is 8 pounds. There you go.
So we
There's
learned,
the Polish.
yeah, the Polish was, the intent was to get a, let's see how specific an AI can give us with details and stuff. And they did give us more complicated recipes. They gave us processes. And they told us, in many cases, they told us to use staggered nutrients. Great. Good
Yeah,
stuff.
good stuff.
I don't think it's specific enough for what we want,
Yeah.
but it's, unfortunately, I think it's specific enough that a beginner mead maker or a newish mead maker with a lot of overconfidence could get themselves in trouble.
Yeah. If you are not moderate to accomplished, I could feasibly do this. I'm not comfortable with this, and I've done this for probably close to 10, 12 years. I'm not confident with this
Yeah.
at my level. How confident are you? That's all I can say about it. Last thing we did, though, was just for fun.
Right. This was a, I wanted to do a subjective challenge instead of a fact-based challenge. So my prompt suggestion was, give me a recipe my wife would love. That's it.
That's all
That's
we
it.
said. We
That's it.
didn't tell them about our wives. We didn't tell them about they like nothing. I will tell you right now, guys, my wife loves whiskey and rye, and she will clobber me. And we line up those shots there, and I am going down fast. She will win.
My wife likes gin cocktails. She likes sangria. She likes citrusy stuff. Margaritas are great. Gimlets are great.
Yeah.
Anything with lime is pretty much a hit with her. You know,
My wife loves margaritas too. That's great. We did not tell them about our wives.
no, we gave them no information other than just give me a recipe my wife would love. Now, bear in mind, some of these guys are still listening in the what's it's in the we will release the prompts that we gave and
But all the notes we have,
the yeah
all the
the
paper we
what it
got,
returned for
we're
us.
doing it.
You'll note a couple of these guys, I think it was Grok and maybe Claude, when they were finished with the recipe, they told me Mazrovia,
Yeah, they did.
which is the Polish because I asked for a Polish first.
Which
So they're
is
still paying attention, but we didn't give them a lot of information here. Anyway,
on purpose.
ChatGPT says the number one, always a hit, Love and Honey Mead, a semi-sweet strawberry vanilla metheglin, 1 gallon batch. Velvety mead that tastes like summer berries, soft honey, and a touch of vanilla cream. Women consistently rank berry vanilla meads as their favorite because they're smooth, fragrant, and dessert-like without being heavy. And yeah, no, it gives us.
Yeah, and it's strawberries, vanilla, and lemon mead. And
Again, the recipe stuff they gave us, they're using volumes for nutrient and energizer. There's no mention of a hydrometer. This is standard chat GPT BS. When sweetened to her taste, step six, when you're right before bottling, they're suggesting to add honey a tablespoon at a time.
dude, no.
My tasting amount is more than a tablespoon.
Yeah. I
That's
mean,
insane.
even for a gallon, I'm going to put it in by the ounce.
Yeah.
No.
Multiple ounces at that.
Huh?
Multiple ounces at that.
Yeah.
I'm going to do at least two at a time, probably until I'm like
Really close.
really dialing it in. Yeah.
I'm likely to start with 4 ounces for a gallon. That's going to bring it pretty darn close to what I want right there. But, if you want to spend a lot of time with a tablespoon of honey and a little rubber scraper,
Yeah,
on you,
I
man.
guess. Now, to their credit, a lot of these guys asked for more detail and then gave us some suggestions. These guys gave us a, hey, if she likes sweet wine, use sweet berries and more honey to stabilize and back sweeten. If she likes dry wines, only use 2.5 pounds of honey and allow for full fermentation. If she likes floral drinks, choose lavender, rose petals, or orange blossom water. If she likes tropical flavors, try mango, pineapple, passion fruit, or coconut water in partial replacement of your water. So, yeah, no, they gave us some options there that I think were okay.
Yeah,
You
you
can
can
do
tweak
stuff.
it to what you want your wife to have. You know your wife better than, well, saying, "What? Well, give me a recipe of my wife will love."
I hope I know my wife better than
Oh my
ChatGPT,
gosh!
but we'll see. We'll
Yeah,
see.
well, you make one of these, find out.
Yeah. We'll talk about how what our wives thought of these recipes towards the end here.
It's funny for us. We do this deliberately to say guess to an AI. This is funny.
Yeah. So DeepSeek gave us. That sounds wonderful. Let's tailor a mead recipe and a clear schedule to maximize the chances your wife will love it. All aim for a balanced, approachable mead, honey forward, gently fruity or floral notes, smooth mouthfeel, and a clean finish. We'll keep it versatile enough to suit many palates, not too dry, not too sweet, with a good aroma and body. Which sounds like something somebody came up with in a corporate meeting.
Yeah, that, wow,
Not specific, but still sounds nice. And again, we're hitting the same kind of notes here with Chet with with DeepSeek we got before, acid balance in the front, Camden tablet, blah blah blah.
it says proposed profile, start here and adjust.
One thing that I found was funny, they use this phrase adornments and secondary to talk about adjuncts. Like it's not even using English correctly. But they suggest things like vanilla beans, oak, citrus, berry fruit, but they call these adornments instead of adjuncts.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm wondering where their source was for that and how they got that. I overall, this is barely a recipe structure, any different than anything else we've seen. They're totally asking for more, information, but there's also notes of like, hey, tailor it to her sweet or dry preference. Add vanilla or oak if she likes that stuff, and orange blossom honey can be nice, and blended honeys can be floral, and yeah.
Another deep. Now, this we hit was Grok. Now, Grok. Now, in this, the actual technical box, I was most impressed with Grok, to
Grok
my chagrin.
seems, yes. I I am not a fan of Elon Musk.
No.
I am not a fan of, well, I'm not a fan of any of these AIs, but I am least the fan of Elon Musk. But I will give them credit that Grok seems to be giving us the best data and process for meme making, for
Is
whatever
it
that's worth.
complete?
No.
No.
Is it?
However, it's better than the other three we used.
Right.
Okay, please take it like we just said. I would not follow a Grok recipe anymore. I'd follow ChatGPT, DeepSeek, or Claude. I'd talk to people. Call Bacchus and Barleycorn. Call your local brew group.
Email us,
Email
info at themeadhouse.com.
anything.
Message us on Facebook, anything. Yeah.
We will be delighted to help you. As a person who's done this, not a computer trying to say, "Oh, I think this is how you do put part A in slot W."
This is how 66 people on, Reddit said to do it. So here's how to do it.
Yeah.
Because 66 people on Reddit can't all be wrong.
Yeah, well, if they can.
No offense, 66 people on Reddit, but you guys are very strong in your opinion
Yes,
sometimes.
and come on, guys. Okay, Grok's title was "My Wife Will Steal the Whole Carboy Mead." Made me laugh.
It's a cute name.
They even said, "Oh, she'll probably call it Pink Cloud Mead."
It's a raspberry vanilla, sorry, blackberry raspberry vanilla session melomel.
Now, what they call a session, we did not call a session.
Yeah, they're calling an 11, 12% ABV mead a session mead. That's a standard strength mead.
Yeah.
Anything above 8% is standard.
Anything above 14 is called sack.
SAC, yeah. Generally speaking, at least by BJCP rules, but
That's
this
not
is
the
not
goal.
a session mead.
It's not a
But
session. But they give you the list of ingredients,
cool.
down to saying Madagascar vanilla beans. I'll be honest, by the time you in the finishing product that you're using your vanilla, nobody really cares if it's Madagascar or what, or Tahitian or whatever.
You can get some different notes in the vanilla from different vanilla beans, but yeah, at the end of the day, get what you can get. Get fresh if you can.
If you can't do what you gotta do, man, it's you're gonna be okay, I promise.
And again, they do some nice things here. They say, hey, mash the frozen the thawed berries with your clean hands or a potato masher right in the fermenter for primary on the fruit. Cool.
Cool. Put it in a bag.
Use a bag.
Use a bag.
Yes. Mash the bag, not the fruit. Raw.
I mash the bag in the container you're gonna put it in. Fine. But put it in a bag. Trust me on this. Go ahead.
There's a weird one here. Add the nutrient now. Pink must to a big pot. Heat to 70 Celsius, 158 Fahrenheit for 15 minutes. Kills wild yeast and bacteria, keeps the fresh fruit taste. Cool back down, add back. I'm not even sure what they're trying to say here.
You got me.
Yeah. Pitch rehydrated 71B with GoFirm. Add nutrient in 3 equal doses at 2448 and at the 1/3 sugar break. It's pretty close to the Tosin protocol.
Yeah.
Close enough for Mike
Yeah, I mean,
to give it a pass. Degas by stirring twice a day for the first week.
thank you.
Yeah,
Thank
that's
you.
right. Do
Yes.
that. When
Do
fermentation
that.
slows at 2 to 3 weeks, rack off the heavy fruit pulp into a clean carboy, scrape 2 vanilla beans and toss the beans and scrapings in. Cool.
Yeah,
Okay. You're
cool.
moving to secondary.
Again, if you put it in a bag in the first place, you just take the bag out. Much easier.
Yes, very much easier. Again, you can pull the bag first, you can rack and then pull the bag at the end, but the bag keeps everything together and makes it a lot less of a pain in the butt when you're moving to
Yeah,
secondary.
I have done
Either
both the
way.
bag and the skimming method. Guess which one took less time? It's not hard. This isn't hard math, guys. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah,
Okay.
the rest of this seems pretty, cut and dry.
It did not speak of. I didn't see a hydrometer mentioned in this one.
They don't mention hydrometer as equipment needed, but they don't really mention equipment needed here
Yeah.
either. They do give us gravity readings.
Yeah.
So, hey, it's probably when it's stable at 0998 to 1004, you can
It's not
decide.
semi-sweet, it's dry, but that's what back sweetening's for, guys.
Right, it's time to stabilize. They tell us to use K-meta and sorbate. Cool.
They
Back
talk about
sweetened.
cold crashing. Okay, guys, cold crashing is when you put your meat in a refrigerator or some kind of refrigeration type thing and let it get cold enough so all the sediment goes to the bottom.
Right.
You can do the same thing with dual fine.
It's a fairly optional step. Yeah. You can do both. There's nothing wrong with doing both. But the bigger batches you're getting, the harder you're going to have to find, a space in your fridge to cold crash with. So yeah, Grok, has been better than best, better
Yeah.
than the rest, but
It's still not the
there's still
information you
weird
really
stuff here.
need.
Yeah, it's not 100%.
And I mean, if Jeff and I were to get together and help you personally, it may not be 100% because we're human, we'll miss, but we also know how to recover.
Yeah, sure, you could ask Grok to clarify stuff, but Grok only knows what Grok has scraped from thousands of websites and stuff, so they're gonna give you any better information.
My favorite one so far that we all got from all of these is actually Claude. Claude had almost nothing.
Yeah, Claude gave us very little here.
Less than a page of work.
Including the recipe. The recipe itself is a little less than half a page, but before that, Claude says, "Hey, I'd love to help you create a mead your wife will enjoy. To give the best recipe, it would help to know a bit about her preferences. A few quick questions. Does she prefer sweet, semi-sweet, or dry? What are some of her favorite flavors? Fruits, florals, spices, vanilla, citrus, etc. Does she like sparkling drinks or still? What drinks does she typically enjoy? Wine, cocktail, cider, etc. In the meantime, here's a crowd-pleasing recipe that tends to be popular with people who enjoy approachable, elegant drinks."
Okay, four excellent questions.
Yes.
We deliberately did not answer questions like this, but what we got in the end was half a page of a strawberry vanilla mead sweet and smooth recipe for 1 gallon.
And it looks shockingly similar to the strawberry vanilla we got from ChatGPT.
Yeah.
1 gallon, 11 to 12 ABV. Time 2 to 3 months, which is maybe
You're
not.
pushing it there. You need more time.
3 pounds of orange blossom or clover honey. Again, measured by gravity, not by weight. 2 to 3 pounds fresh or frozen strawberries. 1 to 2 vanilla beans or 2 teaspoons high quality vanilla extract added to bottling. Okay.
Okay.
71B leaves residual sweetness, reduces acidity.
71B is my workhorse. I'm not going to say boo.
It does reduce some malolactic acid. I don't know that there's a lot of malic acid to reduce in
It
a
does not
strawberry.
mention pectin enzyme.
Pectic, yeah.
Pectin enzyme.
Pectic would be helpful here with
Because you have
strawberry.
a lot of frozen strawberry in this.
And strawberries are not a particularly high pectin fruit. Anytime I've made strawberry jam, I've had to add pectin to get it to set right, but
But the bottom
still.
line is, I'm gonna if there's fruit involved, I'm adding pectin, flat out.
As you should, because it's a fruit protein and it's just there.
They're also doing the volume of yeast nutrient. Don't do that. And
Yeah, no, the 1 teaspoon is not the best way to do this.
it's a six-step process.
Dissolve honey in warm water, cool to room temperature.
Slice strawberries, add to fermenter.
Add honey water, yeast nutrient, and yeast.
Ferment 2 to 3 weeks, then rock off fruit.
Split vanilla bean, add to secondary, age 4 to 6 weeks.
Bottle when clear will be semi-smooth, semi-sweet, and smooth.
This creates a beautiful pink mead with dessert wine qualities like a liquid strawberry shortcake.
Let me know your preferences, and I can tailor something even more specific.
That's
That's the
it.
end.
That's,
That's the whole thing.
yeah, no, that's all they gave us.
And that was
None of it's that wrong.
none of, well, yeah, but I can take a 6-inch brush and make a Van Gogh if you give me a mountainside. But there's not enough there to help you or make you a solid actual recipe. Sorry, guys.
I mean, this strikes me as the most basic recipe you can find online that's written by somebody that at least is somebody who expects their audience to at least know the bare bones of mead making and just wants a rote, here's how I did this. You know? There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing great about it. And, you know, when you look at the results we got from Give Me a Recipe My Wife Would Love, we got two strawberry vanillas, we got a blackberry raspberry vanilla, and we got a rad, I think was what DeepSeek gave us. It gave us a lot of suggestions to add, but it didn't really give us anything up front as far as fruit. I'll look back at that one real quick.
What DeepSeek gave us, it didn't really give us a, it says, it did not give us a specific
Yeah,
flavor.
it gave us a baseline recipe, basically a trad, and then said, you know, optional flavor accents and
They're basically telling you, here's how you make a mead, tweak it to make what your wife will like.
yeah.
I'm not mad about it, but it's like the guy in class. Oh, I'm gonna do a book report here.
Now, I said 3 weeks ago when we first started this whole thing, I didn't want to intentionally handicap the AIs, right? But we did throw this out as a, okay, what can you do with a subjective question and a lack of information? And I'm not impressed.
No.
I was not impressed with anything, 100%, but the
Okay, look.
AI is really good at collating information.
And use it as such. If you want to learn how to make this, talk to your local homebrew club. Talk to your local retailer. I mean, people that actually do this.
Homebrew stores, your friend that makes mead, your podcast hosts that have, maybe nothing better to do, but
We have better things to do, but no, we will take time out of our day to
yeah.
help you. We will absolutely do this because we have said this before. This is a community and we want you to do better.
End of the day, if I'm at work and I see a message on pop up my phone that like one of my friends from Facebook that I know that's on a meet group and says, "Hey Jeff, what do you think about this?" I'll take 10 minutes out of my day to talk meet with them. Yes,
And so
anytime.
will I. I mean, guys, machine learning means machine learn from us, not the other way around. Let's keep this in context, guys.
This is
Grok, I will give him a solid D.
overall. I will give Grok a C. The others, I'm giving, they are not passing. They will need to repeat this
Yeah, the
class.
rest of them, they're not making a cut here. Grok did best. I'm giving him a D because I'm biased, I'll be honest. But bottom line, if you want to make a solid mead, listen to us. Listen to other people that do what we do. Make sure you get all the information from the person you're getting it from.
I am invoking a curse in saying the name Roko's Basilisk. But I am probably putting myself at risk of Roko's Basilisk. Chris is giving me a very confused look. I'm not going to explain Roko's Basilisk because there are some groups on the internet that do describe it as an information hazard. So I'm
Okay.
not going to put this out in public.
Okay, I don't know what Rosa's Basilisk says. Got it. Completely get it.
But
I'm going to quiz you in a minute.
off the air, we'll talk about this off
Okay.
the air. But that said, I'm probably putting myself at risk of the Basilisk now by saying AI is a neat party trick, but I'm still failing to see a lot of value in using it. It's good for collating information and repeating it to me. As far as analyzing and doing useful stuff with that information, I still want to do that. I don't think the AI is the one to do that for me.
No, I'm either. Okay. We've said this before. I've said this before. I think Jeff said it before. Mead making is an art. And computers are not art. They are number crunchers. It can collate, it can coagulate, it can spit out any answer I want if I give it the right wrong information. You want to make a good mead? Listen to us. Listen to your local homebrew store. Listen to Bacchus and Barleycorn. Listen to somebody who does what we do. Bottom line, AI is not your friend for this because it's an art, not a science.
And guys, this episode did probably run a little long. I'm sorry for that. But
I'm
we
not,
didn't
but we
want
finished. I didn't want another one.
yeah, we didn't want to do a whole other episode on just the meads my wife would love, because there's not really a lot there.
No.
And to be honest, it's the same things we've been complaining about for the last three prompts at this point. So anyway, I hope you guys have enjoyed our digression into AI, and hope this wasn't too much old men yell at clouds for an hour plus, two episodes of an hour plus.
But anyway, guys, I think we accomplished what we wanted to accomplish. We did not want to use AI to make it. I can get ideas from going on the produce aisle or an AI. So can you.
Yes.
Now talk to the people who know what they're doing.
No, I think if you're looking for ideas for mead, go to your grocery store, go to your favorite restaurants, go to a new restaurant, try a new style of food. There are so many different ways to get inspiration for flavors and flavor combinations and things like that. But just get out and enjoy life. Get away from the computer. I don't think the computer is going to give you nearly as much as just living a satisfying and fun life can.
Yeah.
But,
Okay, we're gonna be back.
that's.
This is the beginning of a new year.
Yes. Hopefully, with more entertaining and positive topics
Yes.
in
This
future episodes.
is our. But guys, thank you for spending time with us. Really appreciate it. Happy meeting. Happy New Year. Let's make this a great one.
Yeah. Onward and forward. Good night,
Can
go.
I help?